Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. And he causeth me to turn back unto the opening of the house, and lo, water is coming forth from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the front of the house is eastward, and the water is coming down from beneath, from the right side of the house, from the south of the altar. In this vision where Ezekiel is seeing a temple that I believe is the blueprint that the Lord wanted the Israelites to follow when they rebuilt the second temple, in this vision, the angel now brings Ezekiel back to the sanctuary where he sees the beginning of a river that is going to be flowing out of the temple. In real life, there was not a river flowing out of the temple in Jerusalem, and the second temple they built did not follow this blueprint. This river could be metaphorical, showing spiritual significance, because Jesus is the river of life that flows eternal. In the book of Revelation, it shows us that there is a river flowing out of the throne of God, and it goes all the way through heaven. Anyone can drink of that river, and they will have eternal life. We live forever in heaven because of that river, which is Jesus Christ. This could be a spiritual aspect to the temple, and it could also be something that would have happened if the Israelites would have followed his blueprint. But the blueprint isn't so much about building a certain way. It's about honoring God 100% in their hearts. In Ezekiel's vision, he sees a small beginning of water coming out of the sanctuary. It's like a spring. The water is coming under the sanctuary toward the front, but its direction veers to the south, which is the right side of the sanctuary if you're in the sanctuary. But if you're on the east side of the sanctuary facing it, the river would be going to your left. 2. And he causeth me to go out the way of the gate northward, and causeth me to turn round the way without, unto the gate that is without, the way that is looking eastward. And lo, water is coming forth from the right side. Now the angel takes Ezekiel out of the north gate of the inner court, which is on the right side of the temple. And then he goes around the temple toward the front, which is eastward. And he goes toward the gate that's in the front of the temple area. 3. In the going out of the man eastward, and a line in his hand, then he measureth 1,000 by the cubit, and he causeth me to pass over into water, water to the ankles. This little spring that's under the sanctuary, as the water flows out, it just gets bigger and bigger. In the front of the temple, there's enough water that you can stand in it up to your ankles, and the angel is measuring the depth and the width of this beginning of a river. Right in front of the temple, you can stand in it up to your ankles. And this shows that the love of God expands and gets greater. The more of us who are born, the more people he loves. His love is not limited, nor is his life. So it's not like, oh, I can only create 1 billion people, and after that, I don't have any more love and any more life left. His life is exponentially growing all of the time. His creation is growing. It's unlimited. We're going to see that as we examine this river. 4. And he measureth 1,000, and causeth me to pass over into water, water to the knees. And he measureth 1,000, and he causeth me to pass over, water to the loins. In the first 1,000 cubits, you were in water up to your ankles. And then in the second 1,000 cubits, you're in water up to your knees. And then in the third 1,000 cubits, you're in water up to your hips. The further the river flows, the deeper it becomes. This is the love and the life of God. Between people on this earth, they can only love you so much. They can only spend so much time with you. They can only forgive you so much. They can only tolerate you so much. And they only want so much for you. Then it's cut off. You've come to the end of that relationship. And then you have to move on and try to find somebody else who loves and accepts you. But with God, none of that ever happens. He wants to be with us for eternity, and He wants to spend every moment of our lives together with Him. He never gets tired of us. He never runs out of patience. He never runs out of resources or love for us. 5, and He measureth 1,000, a stream that I am not able to pass over, for risen have the waters, waters to swim in, a stream that is not passed over. In the next 1,000 measurements, which would be 5,000 cubits into this river, it's now so big that you can't walk in it anymore, you have to swim. 6, and He saith unto me, hast thou seen, son of man? And He leadeth me, and bringeth me back unto the edge of the stream. The angel says, do you understand how deep and how big this river is? And then the angel leads him out of the river back to the shore. 7, in my turning back, then, lo, at the edge of the stream are very many trees, on this side and on that side. This is the same vision of heaven that we're going to see in Revelation. This vision has either morphed into an eternal vision of heaven. This could also be a vision of the millennial temple of Christ. There has never been a temple this big to date on earth, and I don't even think the Israelites would be able to make a temple this big right now. It would be really hard for them to make a third temple this big, but Jesus won't have any problem making a third temple this big during the millennial reign. The vision is showing him the trees of life, which we know are in heaven. There was a tree of life in the Garden of Eden, but Adam and Eve never ate from it. Therefore, their bodies did not become immortal and live forever, and they died. And the Lord prevented us from ever finding that tree in the Garden of Eden, because He prevented us from returning to the Garden of Eden. But in heaven, there are two rows of trees called the Tree of Life. One row is on one side of that heavenly river, and the other row is on the other side of that heavenly river. So we can drink from the water of life, and the trees are drinking from the water of life. So they also are trees of life. 8, and He saith unto me, these waters are going forth unto the east circuit, and have gone down unto the desert, and have entered the sea. Unto the sea they are brought forth, and the waters have been healed. Since the temple is facing east, these waters of life wouldn't be going to the Mediterranean Sea. When these waters of life go into the ocean or the sea, the waters in the sea are healed. God's life and His love heals us emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, physically, socially, and in every other way. 9, and it hath come to pass, every living creature that teemeth, whithersoever the streams come, doth live, and there hath been great abundance of fish, for these waters have come thither, and they are healed, and everything whither the stream cometh hath lived. In heaven, everything has eternal life, the plants, the animals, the fish, and the people, and the angels. There is no death in heaven, and this seems to be a metaphor of heaven. In Revelation, the reason I didn't think this vision was the New Jerusalem is because in Revelation, the New Jerusalem is a lot bigger than the temple in this vision. But during the millennial reign of Christ, it would make sense that there would be a river of life coming out of the temple because Jesus will be there for 1,000 years. And it will make sense also that the water coming out of the temple will heal all of the fish in the ocean because Jesus will be here dwelling with us for 1,000 years. 10, and it hath come to pass, fishers do stand by it from En Gedi even unto en Eglim, a spreading place of nets they are, according to their own kind, is their fish, as the fish of the great sea, very many. En Gedi is in Israel. He isn't talking about fishermen at the ocean. He's talking about fishermen at the riverside of this river. 11. And its miry and its marshy places, they are not healed. To salt they have been given up. Scholars believe that this river is going toward the Dead Sea. It cannot be going toward the Mediterranean Sea because that would be going behind the temple on the west side, and we know it's not traveling in that direction. It's traveling from the front of the temple on the east side. In verse 11, it says that the miry places on the sides of the river do not get healed, so they are not full of life. They become salty areas. We have to have salt to live. Those would still be areas that the Israelites could use for their benefit. I still don't really know for sure what this temple is. It could be the millennial reign temple. It could be strictly a metaphorical vision. I really can't tell, so I leave it up to you to decide. 12. And by the stream there cometh up on its edge, on its side, and on that side, every kind of fruit tree, whose leaf fadeth not, and not consumed is its fruit. According to its months, it yieldeth first fruits, because its waters from the sanctuary are coming forth, and its fruits hath been for food, and its leaf for medicine. In the book of Revelation, it says that the tree of life is there, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. Here it's saying the same thing, that the leaves are for medicine that will heal us. If these trees are brought to earth during the millennial reign, there will be mass healing in the world. People will go to these trees and eat the fruit and eat the leaves or use the leaves for medicine, and their diseases will be healed. Now in heaven, the same thing will happen. There's no disease in heaven, but we're also going to need emotional healing, psychological healing, spiritual healing, and we will have all of that when we enter heaven. The book of Revelation says that the tree of life has a different type of fruit every month in the year. There are 12 months, and I believe these fruits represent the 12 tribes. So each month, there is a different fruit available on these trees. And again, the only reason I don't think this is the New Jerusalem is because the New Jerusalem is much, much bigger than this temple area. 13. Thus said the Lord Jehovah, this is the border whereby ye inherit the land, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph hath portions. There are 12 tribes of Israel, but two of them belong to Joseph's line. One was given to his son Ephraim, and the other one to his son Manasseh. Joseph is the father of two tribes. The other children of Israel are fathers of only one tribe each. 14. And ye have inherited it, one as well as another, in that I have lifted up my hand to give it to your fathers, and this land hath fallen to you in inheritance. The Lord is speaking not only to Ezekiel, but to all of his people, that the land of Israel has been given to the Israelites forever. They will never lose that land. 15. And this is the border of the land at the north gate, from the great sea, the way of Hethlon, at the coming in to Zedad. The great sea would be the Mediterranean Sea. When the Lord first gave the Israelites the land of Canaan, it was a much larger space than what the Israelites have today. Their land has actually shrunk over time. Because of their sin, the pagan nations around them have taken more land. But in this vision, it shows that the full land of Canaan is restored to the Israelites. So Israel is going to grow a little bit. It's still going to be a small country compared to other countries, but one day it will be the full size that the Lord originally gave to the Israelites. The Lord is describing the border which actually touches the Mediterranean on the north. 16. Hamath, Beratha, Sibrim, that is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hazor, Hadakon, that is at the coast of Havron. The Lord is now describing the north border. He's still describing the limits of the north border of this new Israel in the future. 17. And the border from the sea hath been Hazar Enan, the border of Damascus, and Zaphon at the north, and the border of Hamath, and this is the north quarter. Now he's fully described all of the landmarks of the north side of Israel at this future date, which would have to be the millennial reign of Christ, because obviously Christ is not going to sit in Jerusalem without his entire kingdom acknowledged by the world. 18. And the east quarter is from between Havran and Damascus and Gilead and the land of Israel to the Jordan, from the border over against the eastern sea ye measure, and this is the east quarter. The eastern sea would be the Dead Sea, because it's on the east side of Israel. So now these are all the landmarks that would be on the east side of Israel. And this would include that pasture land that is east of Israel, where two of the tribes had their cattle. 19. And the south quarter, southward, is from Tamar unto the waters of Meriboth Kadesh, the stream unto the great sea, and this is the south quarter, southward. Those are the borders that go south. Right now, a lot of the northern part has been removed from Israel, but that's going to get a lot bigger. And then the southern part is also going to extend a little bit when Israel's land is restored. 20. And the west quarter is the Great Sea, from the border till over against the coming into Hamath. This is the west quarter. The west quarter is by the Mediterranean Sea, and now it's describing how much of the Mediterranean Sea will touch Israel. 21. And ye have divided this land to you, according to the tribes of Israel. Originally, when the Israelites entered Israel, the land was divided into 12 portions, and the Lord says they are to make sure that it's divided appropriately again when they have all of this land back. 22. And it hath come to pass, ye separate it for an inheritance to yourselves and to the sojourners who are sojourning in your midst, who have begotten sons in your midst, and they have been to you as native with the sons of Israel. With you they are separated for an inheritance in the midst of the tribes of Israel. Whatever foreigners come to Israel to live, they have to be treated as if they are Israelites. So for us Christians who are grafted into the tribes of Israel spiritually because we follow Jesus, we are to be treated as fellow Israelites from a spiritual perspective. And in heaven, we will be treated as fellow Israelites because each of us is going to enter one of those gates in heaven. Each gate has a name of an Israelite tribe on it. So I believe that whatever gate you enter in heaven, that's the tribe that you will be assigned to in heaven. 23. And it hath come to pass, in the tribe with which the sojourner sojourneth, there ye give his inheritance, an affirmation of the Lord Jehovah. It's neat how it says, treat the sojourner as one of you, because in heaven, we're all going to be one big family. His tribes are forever. They will never diminish. They'll never disappear. And they're even in heaven. And that concludes Ezekiel chapter 47.